This program is not being used to make diagnosis, administer treatment, prescribe medication, or order tests. The information contained in this program is provided as an educational service. This program is not a replacement for the relationship you have with your healthcare provider. If you have concerns about your health, please contact your healthcare provider immediately.
Welcome to Your Health Connection. I am Dr. Ronald A. Johnson, president of Clark Atlanta University. This program was made possible by the Center for Cancer Research and Therapeutic Development at Clark Atlanta University, by WCLK 91.9 FM, and by Clark Atlanta University itself. Your Health Connection focuses on today's healthcare information to help you improve your quality of life.
You are listening to Your Health Connection on WCLK. On today's program, we are talking about cancer diagnosis, cancer treatment, and survival. We're talking about this with our guests. I'm your host, Patty Walden, and today we've got a pretty special show. This is our Ask the Expert show, where you get to ask us, and by us, I do mean them, and by them, I do mean our experts today. And those folks are Dr. Eric Randolph. Say hello.
Hello. Good
evening. And Dr. Rajni Sinha. We'll be walking through your diagnosis, what you can do, talking about it, treatment of it, the different tests that you can take. And, of course, we are taking your calls live. You can reach us at 404-880-9255, or you can join us via Twitter at CCRTD. So welcome, Dr. Randolph, and welcome, Dr. Sinha.
Thank you.
And Dr. Sinha, let's start with you. Just tell us, tell our guests just a little bit about yourself.
Thank you for having me. As you mentioned, my name is Dr. Rajni Sinha. I'm one of the general medical oncologists at Piedmont Cancer Institute here in Atlanta. I trained at Emory and was on faculty at Emory for several years before moving on into private practice at Piedmont. See a wide variety of different types of malignancies. What else would you like to know?
Well, that's good.
Okay,
that's good for starters. Dr. Randolph?
Thanks again for the invitation. I am a radiation oncologist, and I've been practicing here in Atlanta for a little bit over 20 years. I did my training at MD Anderson Cancer Institute in Houston, Texas, and did internal medicine before for 3 years at Emory University. Did my medical school up in New York, which is where I'm from. And my practice is a private practice group, Atlanta Oncology Associates, and we've been around Georgia for quite a while, and we have multiple locations throughout, but my primary office is located downtown on the campus of Atlanta Medical Center.
Excellent. Thank you. So, those of you listening out there, we definitely want you, this is your opportunity to call in. So, you've been diagnosed with cancer. Now what? What do you do? What do you say? What are you thinking? What are some of those questions that you have? I'm imagining, first of all, what's more important is what type of cancer is it, right? How do you get to that treatment? You've got to figure out what this is first. Dr. Randolph.
Yeah, that's very true. I mean, one of the things that I think is extremely important is that sometimes patients know they have something going on wrong and they're not sure. Sometimes they stay away. But when they go to seek help, particularly if they're ever enticed into having a biopsy. Biopsies are looking to find what's going on, particularly malignancy. And I think when biopsies are done, one of the most important things are for patients to take a family member or a close partner with them to the doctor to get results. Because a lot of times I find that patients will go in to find out test results and they become a deer in headlights and they really don't hear what's being said to them. So I think it's very important for any cancer patient or possible cancer patient to take a loved one with them so they'll have an extra set of ears to take notes and things of that nature. And that, to me, I think is very critical in terms of helping to deal with that.
Well, I appreciate that because typically, I think a lot of people don't want to involve, especially if it's just, oh, I'm just going to find out what's going on, and don't want the family to worry, don't want your children to worry, your spouse. But they, in fact, can be your support group.
Yes, very much so.
So very important. I appreciate that. Dr. Sinan,
yeah, I completely agree. You know, we'll see a variety of patients come in with sometimes one family member, and occasionally there'll be several. Mm-hmm. You know, I think a lot of patients will come in with a really good list of questions that they've written down, you know, to what they obviously want answers to. And I think some of them have done some background already into symptomatology and what to expect, and so they're asking very, very good questions, and I completely agree. Having a caregiver or several caregivers present during their initial meeting and subsequent meetings is really helpful.
Yeah, I appreciate that, because after that news, and you mentioned the deer in the headlights, but after the news, you've got to mobilize. You've got to do something. Is my cancer treatable?
Mm-hmm.
You know.
Yeah, and you know, another thing, I guess, is when you get that diagnosis, you are going to try to obtain information to, I guess, give you some background. But one of the things that I try to encourage patients to get that information, but don't make their own diagnosis and don't put themselves into the story that they heard about Cousin Marie, who had this cancer and it went bad, or my next door neighbor had this. And the thing is that people need to recognize is that every cancer is truly different. Every cancer situation is different. How advanced the cancer is impacts how you will do. So as much as it is tempting to kind of hear these stories, you should try not to bias yourself into a doom or gloom situation, or close your mind off to possible treatments that can be of clear benefit to you. And so I think it's good to have information, but try to go in with an open mind when you get either referred to a medical oncologist or a radiation oncologist. And, you know, a lot of it also really depends on where you come in the system, you know, whether it's the surgeon who sends you or whoever and stuff. And you can get variations on the types of information or how you'll be handled. Because some doctors, when they hear the word cancer, they like to refer to the oncologist and not necessarily address some of the patient's basic concerns. And again, it's a variance from each physician.
That's good. I'm going to remind our folks who are listening that you can call in and ask our experts today. That phone number is 404-880-9255. You can tweet us at CCRTD. General practitioner. So this patient goes to their general practitioner. How much information can they get from their general practitioner before even being referred to an oncologist or a specialist with that cancer diagnosis?
You know, most general practitioners will have a sort of a good basic understanding, and then some will have a pretty advanced understanding about the diagnosis, the pathology, you know. But the majority of the times, that general practitioner will reach out to an oncologist he or she has a relationship with,
mm-hmm.
To subsequently refer the patient on to us. You know, in the world of oncology, it's very important, and most of us will do this, is work as a group. It's sort of a, what we call in the medical world, is a multidisciplinary group, where the general practitioner, the medical oncologist, the radiation oncologist, and the surgeon are all working together, communicating behind the scenes about that one, you know, about that particular patient. And so, and that's some, you know, I think a lot of the times it's very comforting to the patient,
sure,
to know that everyone is kind of on the same page.
Yes. Dr. Randolph, do you have a memorable story or something memorable about a patient, a diagnosis? What might have stood out for you with a particular patient or a particular diagnosis?
there are probably numerous stories, but I guess an observation more than a story would be when I started off in practice, and even up till now, I found that certain patients, and when I say certain, I will say people who are religious in the standpoint of being a pastor of a church or things of that nature, I found that I was amazed about the fear that they had. And I know that typically a pastor is giving, you know, faith and support to their congregation. And maybe pastors need somebody to also give them support. Sure. But I really found there seemed to be not necessarily a loss of faith, but a lapse of faith at times with some of my patients that happened to be ministers. And, you know, eventually they got out of it, or, you know, they got comfortable with it. Their fear got subsided, but fear was a very big component, which is what all patients have, sure. You know. But again, for me, it was just kind of like interesting to see that, and would have to kind of talk to them about, you know, you're going to have to help your patients too. And the other thing is just the information. I mean, people who are viewed as leaders in different communities, it's like relating, even though people like to be private, relating the story to your congregation is a very helpful thing to educate them and give them an empowerment to take care of themselves as well. And that, I think, is one of the bigger problems, is that so often, again, depending on the community you're in, but delay in getting to the doctor is one of the biggest problems that can impact your ability to have a good outcome from the cancer. And that's like where the general practitioner or the family doctor is so critical to basically do good history taking with their patients, know if there's a cancer history, and then for whatever cancer may be predominant or not, but there are certain tests that are good routine tests to do. You know, individuals who are smokers, it's good for them to get periodic x-rays. And if they have symptomatology, you know, CAT scan. For men, I mean, there's lots of controversy about prostate cancer, but I am an advocate of prostate cancer screening. And that's important for women, mammograms. Yeah. And so I think those are frontline things that the primary care physician is really responsible for, because we don't see those patients until they get diagnosed. And hopefully they're diagnosed at an earlier point, which basically gives likelihood for a better outcome.
Sure. Thank you for sharing that story. That is interesting, that folks of the cloth, mm-hmm. who you would think, you know, would not be as fearful, would have a little bit more faith, mm-hmm. you know, but cancer is cancer. A diagnosis yes. is a diagnosis, and fear is fear, and it's very real. And just the comment even about sharing, very, mm-hmm. very important, and I appreciate that. And sharing is what we are doing today. And if you are out there listening and you have a story to share and you might have recently been diagnosed with cancer, definitely call in and talk with our doctors today. You can reach us at 404-880-9255. You can tweet us at CCRTD. Dr. Sinha, let's talk about cancer staging. You know, what about that patient who has been diagnosed recently with cancer, but says, you know, I'm not at stage four. I don't know where it starts, if it starts at zero or at one, if someone can actually, I don't know what is zero, if there are just signs, but if someone is just in the first stage, how important is it for them to move forwardly as if it were stage three or four?
Yeah, so in terms of staging, I think that's once a patient has their initial diagnosis, that's the number one question patients will ask is, what stage am I? And whether you're a stage zero, which is seen in certain cancers, it's also seen in some blood type of cancers, or a stage four, I think really sitting down with your oncologist and defining goals of treatment, you know, is this going to be a curative or is this going to be palliative, which means we're going to give you treatment to prolong life and give you some quality of life, I think regardless of your stage, having that dialogue with your oncologist, with your radiation oncologist, is very important. You know, getting onto a treatment plan as safely and quickly as you can is also very important. But I think it's all about communication with your physician about a patient's desires if they are a stage four, and real expectations, particularly when I see patients in advanced stage. You know, there are definitely some cancers that are an early stage where you can just follow a patient and they don't necessarily need to be actively treated.
Yeah.
And then there are some cancers that a very short period of treatment or even just radiation or even just surgery are enough to get them into a remission or a cure.
Okay, thank you. You talk about treatment, and there are bills that are being passed, and hemp oil. How helpful, if at all? We're going through that right now with the city, and folks are wanting this bill to be passed. But how helpful is hemp oil or cannabis oil in these treatments?
You know, I have, and maybe Dr. Randolph may know a little bit more, I personally have not done that much research on that particular topic. It's definitely patients will come and ask about it. There are definitely some criteria for which it is currently being used and is approved. For the majority of cancers that we are sort of treating, I don't see it right now as being a widely available choice.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if you have any,
well, Dr. Randolph.
No, I mean, think about hemp oil and cannabis, I think, really is something that's not, it's more, as I view it, to relieve symptomatology that patients may have from either the treatment and or maybe the cancer. But in a general sense, it's not necessarily the first line thing that I would recommend for symptoms. But, you know, there are patients who have a loss of appetite, and there are prescription medicines that we can write them for. But, you know, this is when some of the home remedies, a friend will say, well, eat this and it will stimulate your appetite or things of that nature. Right. I mean, there are legal prescriptions that can be written that have that, which is Marinol, which is a THC derivative, and that we sometimes write for nausea for some patients.
Okay. Thank you. All right, we are here talking about cancer, the diagnosis, the treatment. What do you do after you've been diagnosed? And we are taking your calls live, so make sure you reach us. We're going to take a quick break and come back and talk with you then. Thanks.
I'm Dr. Kimberly Davis with the Center for Cancer Research and Therapeutic Development at Clark Atlanta University. Prostate cancer often has no early warning signs or symptoms, but screening can detect the cancer in its earliest stages when it is most curable. The key is to know your numbers. Annual testing with the prostate-specific antigen test, or PSA, can lead to early detection and cancer confined to the prostate that has a significantly higher cure rate. Know what your PSA number is every year. Do not accept your PSA is normal. Ask for the actual number. This might be the most important number of your life. For more information, contact the Center for Cancer Research and Therapeutic Development at 404-880-6878. Or email us at cancerinfo@cau.edu. This message has been brought to you by the Center for Cancer Research and Therapeutic Development at Clark Atlanta University.